What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 1041. Welcome in the post as the Philadelphia 76ers defeat the Boston Celtics. Take both games in this two-game set in South Philadelphia. Improve to 11-5 on the season. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight. D-Linem will join us shortly. And we have a lot to talk about with you guys tonight as the 76ers are now 8-0 when their starters are out there on the floor. 8 of their 11 wins are when the starters are out there, and they look pretty good doing so. A little challenging at some point. They are the Boston Celtics. They are still a good basketball team. They are still coached by a very good coach in Brad Stevens. They have a fantastic player in Jaylen Brown. So we have a lot to discuss. 610-632-0975. Where do we start? Of course, we have to start with the MVP candidate, the big fella, Joel Embiid. Once again, 38 points, 11 rebounds for Joel Embiid. He has been, as we have been saying all along, the man has been fantastic. Once again, just dominant for the 76ers. Got ticked off at one point, and once he got ticked off, you were like, uh-oh, all right, it's about to happen. You saw it developing right now on the season. He's averaging 26 points in 31 minutes of play in his 12 games that he has played and started in them all, grabbing 11 boards, 3 turnovers a night, which is not bad considering all the attention that he gets. 1 block, 1 steal, 3 assists. He is having, as we've been talking about, that MVP season. His last 5 games, listen to these numbers, folks. Let's forget about the Miami game where they won 125-108, where they didn't need him in the 24 minutes. Last 5 games, 38 tonight, 42 Wednesday, 9 against Miami, as we mentioned last Thursday, 45 against the Heat in that overtime victory, 24 against the Hawks in that loss in only 23 minutes. He has just been so good. So good for this basketball team. Again, what can you say about his overall play? 38-11, 3 assists. He did have 5 turnovers and 5 personal fouls tonight. But just the dominance, the efficiency, the shots that he was taking from the low block, 11 of 15 from the floor in 30 minutes, 2 of 2 from behind the three-point line, and that one to seal it with a fadeaway three-pointer from the left wing, 14 of 15 from the free-throw line. And for him, I'm talking about him, I do not care that Jason Tatum was not out there. I don't care. I cannot care. I can't worry about that. If they lost this game, like I always say, we would point out how they lost the game to a team that was missing one of their key players, if not their best player in Jason Tatum. And he was, look, he and Jaylen Brown went at it, but he was phenomenal once again. So Joel Embiid, 38-11, and in his time on the floor, getting to the free throw line 15 times. That's 5 less than the Boston Celtics in their 20 free throw attempts tonight. You had also Tobias Harris, very efficient one more time. 41 minutes for a game high, 41 minutes, 10 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 3 from behind the three-point line, 23 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 3 turnovers. He was great. He was great. He did everything you asked of him. He was great. Nothing more for me to say. He was great. Returning from a long, long break with Seth Curry, 27 minutes, and I thought he would be rusty because of all the time that he had had off. Shooters shoot. They can find their stroke very quickly. But for Seth Curry, man, 15 points, 3 of 5 from deep. He had it going early, and I was like, oh, he's about to make me look silly tonight with me even thinking that he would struggle from the field tonight trying to find his shot, trying to get his rhythm. He was really good, providing that stretch ability for this team, especially when Danny Green struggled a bit, 1 of 6 from deep, 2 of 7 from the floor. So his shots went down a little bit because Seth Curry returned, and that's okay. Then you had guys coming off the bench making shots a little bit, right? And that's where the team was. And last but not least, tonight, in 35 minutes and 46 seconds, also in foul trouble, Ben Simmons. Through three quarters, he had 4 points. It looked like it was going to be one of those nights where he had double-digit assists, a few boards, some steals, a block shot or so, a couple of turnovers. and all that. And then in the fourth quarter, in the final 5 minutes of the game, he scored 11 points in the quarter, 7 of 10 overall from the floor, 15 points, 11 boards, 3 assists. I mean, pardon me, 11 assists, 3 boards on the night. Final 5 minutes, he was great. Let me say it while we pause for a second. Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. That's it. And you heard what Doc Rivers had to say, and it was predictable. He struggled. He didn't look for a shot early on. Through the first half, Ben Simmons had only taken one shot. All right? One shot, got fouled on another where he missed the 2 free throws. Okay. Third quarter, Ben Simmons took 2 shots, 1 of 2 from the floor, 3 assists. And then in the fourth quarter alone, Ben Simmons was 5 of 7, 11 points, 3 assists, 2 boards, 1 steal, and 1 of 1 from the free throw line on an and one for Ben Simmons. So Embiid had 11, Simmons had 11. In the final frame, 22 points, where they scored 31. Your two best players, or your two franchise players, had 22 points combined, 11 each from Simmons and Embiid. And then Simmons took 7 shots in the quarter, 4 more than anyone else. Well, Thibault had, Korkmaz had 5. You know Korkmaz can squeeze them off at any time. You know that. But when it comes to Matisse Thibault. So, I mean, Furkan Korkmaz, you know what that is. So, listen, a really good win from the team tonight. This is a really good win. Let's just point it out for what it was. Really good win. They're 11-5 on the season. They are 8-0 with their starters on the floor. And at this time, in the standings for the Eastern Conference, they are ahead in the Eastern Conference standings at 11-5, 9-1 at home. The Indiana Pacers also won tonight. The Bucks were idle. 9-6 for the Bucks and Pacers for second place. The Celtics are in the fourth spot, now two games behind the 76ers in that Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavaliers. You heard me right. With the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks at 8-7 at 2.5 games behind the 76ers after the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Brooklyn Nets once again tonight in their two-game series in Cleveland tonight without Kevin Durant. Get 38 from Kyrie Irving and I believe like 17 or 18 from James Harden, but he had a double-double with 11 assists. The Cleveland Cavaliers are in the fifth spot. So look, say what you want about this team. You have to give credit to, what's this month, January? I think at this point, the Eastern Conference Coach of the Month, tell me if I'm wrong, is Doc Rivers. This team is 11-5. They missed some players. If they're going to give out those awards, that award has to go to Doc Rivers for his selection for Doc Rivers for this team being where they are right now at 11-5. I have to give Doc Rivers, they're the number one team in the East. They have a game tomorrow on the road at 8 o'clock against the Detroit Pistons. And you can hear that tomorrow, 8 o'clock tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I want to know your thoughts on this game. Number one, Embiid is doing it again. MVP candidate. Look, LeBron James, he was great last night. I think he had 34 in that game last night against the Milwaukee Bucks. He was great. Kevin Durant has been tremendous. Nikola Jokic averages a triple-double on the season right now. You heard me right. A center with a triple-double on the season with his double-digit assists at 10 a game. He is great. Luka Doncic, also fantastic, as we all know, for the Dallas Mavericks to play in the Spurs at this time. Luka Doncic with 36-11-9. With 15 seconds to play in the game, could possibly pick up a sneaky rebound to get a triple-double. And then you have Joel Embiid. So however you want to lay it out with your MVP candidacy and who is in whatever order, I don't know how they're going to do it at the end when Jokic and Embiid are going to be playing this well, that you have to... One of those guys is going to be the All-NBA center in first team. One of them will, right? Okay, one of them will be. You can't leave both of them off. They're going to have to adjust that a little bit and make sure that they put both of those guys in that first team all NBA, because it would be a travesty to not have that for both of them, first team all NBA at the center spot for the league. But look, let's talk about it tonight. Sixers win once again, 122-110, improved to 11-5 on the season. They are 9-1 at home. They were losing at the half by a score of 52-49. In the second half total, they scored 73 points, defeating the Celtics in the second half alone, 73-58, behind 22 points in the second half for Joel Embiid, 13 for Ben Simmons, 11 for Tobias Harris. A lot to talk about with D. Lynam when she joins us on the other side in the 11 o'clock hour. We see Matt is there. We see a few others that dropped off. But if you guys want to hang on, feel free. We want to get your thoughts as we go in the post. Tyler Zuli's producing. Great work by Dylan McKinnon as well. And let's have a conversation tonight about the Philadelphia 76ers, your Eastern Conference leading Philadelphia 76ers, defeating the Boston Celtics 122-110. They are 11-5 on the season, and they have defeated the Celtics in this two-game series, 2-0 at the center. We're going to talk to D. Lynam when we get back. 610-632-0975. Let's go in the post until midnight. D. Lynam when we get back. Matt in Norristown as well, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Gibbons. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 10:59, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Let's go in the post, folks. Sixers, the Eastern Conference leading Philadelphia 76ers at 11-5 right now. They are also will take on the Detroit Pistons tomorrow. That will be at 8 o'clock right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Is that one of the games that was adjusted the time? That's the 8 o'clock? Yeah, that's the, they adjusted. Detroit and Jeremy Grant have been playing so well that they wanted to adjust. They flexed it. They flexed it. So there you go. All right, Matt, hang on. I see my man Anthony there as well, and Malvern and others. But we have to go to the Comcast Business Hotline first. We'll check in, as we always do, in the first segment with our other half of the, without, you know, Tyler Zuli is always here as well, but the other half of In the Post. When we do that, we go to the Comcast Business Hotline, we bounce forward, and we check in with the one and only D. Lynam right here with us. D, how you doing?
I love that you said they flexed that game. Oh man,
that's right.
It's perfect.
That's right. Perfect. They flexed it. They flexed the Sixers and Pistons.
That's right.
That's right.
my man Dwayne Casey, he wanted to flex.
No doubt.
With that 8 o'clock start.
Well, D, the Sixers are flexing with the best record still in the Eastern Conference, and look like that. You know, it was going to be a little bit of a struggle for them in the second half because of how they trailed in the first, 52-49. Not a big margin there, but Boston just had it going. Jaylen Brown was tremendous, but then, you know, they got it going, and they ended up with a 11-point lead at the end of three behind their second unit, who came in and did some really, really good things, and they end up with a 12-point victory tonight. D, your overall observations of this team and their win tonight.
Well, one of the things, just because you just said their second unit, I'll go back to an early press conference of Doc Rivers and him stressing that I like my bench to be game changers, right? So I think there's an investment, and obviously you have to look at the fact that his starting five, when they're all together, are undefeated at this point. Now it's 8-0, but we have to acknowledge that. But for a guy to acknowledge that he believes in having a bench that are, in his words, game changers, right? So Shake didn't have the greatest night tonight, but I love that the use of Thybulle, right? And he obviously believes in Furkan more than a lot of fans do in this area. So I'm glad you brought up that, you know, their second unit is definitely making a difference for this squad. But let's get to the bottom of it. Joel Embiid is playing out of his mind and making a case for MVP for sure. I was a little frustrated with him in trying to, he does get to the line, but, and I'd have to disagree with my father, the one they were showing over and over during the broadcast where he threw his hands up. He was stripped long before he tried to shoot that particular shot.
Yeah.
I mean, he was stripped by a guard, so stop. He tried to sell it, I get it. But at the end of the day, this man is just, I mean, in two games against the Celtics this week, he shot 67% from the floor. They have no answer for this guy. And if they're one of the teams that you have to go through, they, you know, you're going to go through them. And obviously I'm going to have to tip my hat to Ben Simmons, who, when I'm often critical because I don't think he comes through at critical times, this man tonight was ridiculous in the fourth quarter.
Yes, he was. So, D, every night we talk about Embiid and his dominance and what he's been doing and just the difference in the mindset. So, I mean, look, let's just start there again. The guy, as you just laid out, was tremendous. He the efficiency that he had from the floor tonight, 11 to 15 for him, getting to the free throw line again 15 times and should have been more, perfectly honest with you. With a few calls.
Could have been more, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, that they didn't give him.
I think he hurt himself a little bit tonight of not getting to the line, and he does this sometimes. When his body is out of control, mm-hmm. he can't be falling to the ground.
Right.
And he does that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's speed. I don't know if he just, like, go with reckless abandon. I don't know which, but tonight that was more so than, you know, 2 days ago. I thought he was more under control. And I think he costs himself sometimes when he is doing that because he's counting on them calling that foul.
Well, and you know what that is. That's the respect call. I'm an all-star. Sure. I'm an all-NBA player. I'm getting beat up. You know it. Call it. And,
except for stay on your feet. 100%.
You'll get the ball is my point. 100%. Yeah. Fair enough. D-Line, I'm joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Sixers win 122-110. 74 points in the second half. They're 11-5 now on the season. Tobias Harris, as you've been talking about, I've been, to your point about Simmons, we'll go my other side with Tobias Harris, where I am on him enough where he puts up these points, and I say, you know what? I needed something a little more impactful with that. Well, D, he's just been simply really good. 23 tonight, right? 23 tonight. All he has done has been really efficient with his scoring overall. When you've needed him to do, look, right now he's averaging 19.3, which is normal, but he's averaging that 19.3. And again,
shooting better than 50.
Exactly. Shooting 50 from the field, 41, like we wanted to, from behind the 3-point line, and 90% from the free throw line. When we talk about aggressive, well, we'll get to him, is the best. Tobias being aggressive, like we thought he would be. This is what we asked for at that power forward position, that stretch position. He has just been very consistent and very good.
So, Devon, I think you know that I have sometimes been criticized for saying to people that he was your most consistent player that you had on this team last year, hands down in my opinion. And I get that he got a big paycheck, but please appreciate that the man does deliver on a daily basis. And you don't know. I really don't like getting up early for Saturday morning, but I will so enjoy
tomorrow, 6
getting up to share with Joe Torti because he does not think Tobias delivers enough, right? And I will so enjoy having that conversation at 6 a.m. I mean, seriously, the 10 for 12 is...
Yeah, that's amazing.
You're
I saw
not
that line.
Every night.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until I looked at the box score at the end. I was like, oh, okay, he's really efficient. I can tell. Then I looked at the box when we were getting ready to come on the air, and I was like, wait a minute, like, he was 10 for 12?
Yeah, 10 for 12.
Wow.
But I tried to share with Joe last weekend, you know, the number of people in the league, this was a week ago, so I haven't done it this week, that were averaging 19 points and shooting better than 50% from the floor. There were 17 guys. And let me just tell you, Anthony Davis is in there. LeBron James is in there. Tobias Harris is in there. Zion Williams is in there. So Williamson, it's like he's at a high level, and I don't understand why people can't see it. But, you know, to me,
right.
I've said to you, I think he's the second in command here.
Yes,
now, tonight, Ben delivered in the fourth quarter, and we'll see where this goes for Ben. You know, I love that Doc Rivers said Ben was annoyed. He didn't use that word, but I pissed, whatever you want to say, that they had allowed the Celtics back in. And he took it upon himself to make a difference when they had done that.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, this was an up and down game, the lead changes and all that stuff, and
yeah,
and just like they were upset, we were upset watching it. So that's where we were. But let's get to him, D. 7 of 10 from the floor after the first half.
Unbelievable.
We looked at it, and you can chart it in your head as the game was going on because he didn't shoot. He had taken one shot in the first half. And
you put your hands up and you say, you know what? He's a non-factor.
Yes. Yes. He's playing one end of the floor. They're playing 4-on-5, all of that stuff. He's just basically not in the play. And I heard Doris Burke even say it at one point. I turned the television on just to kind of check and see what they were saying. And she was like, as great as he is defensively, even tonight, he just wasn't being aggressive. And so did Mike Breen. So, D, I want to let you hear what Doc Rivers had to say post-game before I get your thoughts on Ben Simmons. Here is Doc Rivers.
He didn't do it until the end of the game tonight, but he was already playing great, and that's the point I'm trying to make to everybody. You know, he's doing so many things for this team. His winning formula is amazing in all the things. Last game, like, he got no credit, and he was so important to why we won that game with all the things he's doing, the little cuts, the little back picks, the rows and passes. Ben does a lot. He can't focus on one thing, like focusing him on just scoring. He's too good for that, to me. It would be a waste if that's all we focus on for him. You know, what I did like is he went downhill tonight more and finished at the basket. That's what he has to do. That's what we're working on.
First, before you say anything, that was a predictable answer. Because once you knew that he had this type of fourth quarter and he basically took over those last few minutes, that you knew Doc Rivers was like, yep, I already know what I'm going to say when I get there and asked about it. Because we don't focus enough on the things that he does well. He's playing winning basketball. So, D, your thoughts.
So, I agree that he's a different, and I don't know if we should use the word unique, different. He's a different kind of player. I get it. And I do try to focus on the things that he does well. But you cannot tell me, as a head coach, now he says they're working on it, you know, attack more, downhill, whatever you want to say. We're asking him to do that more. Okay, well, the rest of us have been asking anybody to make him do that more. And when you see a fourth quarter where he can go 5 of 7, so he actually took 7 shots. Was it because they were 7 layups in the paint shot that was appealing to him? Okay, then create that for yourself over the course of the other 3 quarters is all I would say. You must be able to create some downhill for yourself if that's what makes you comfortable over the first 3 quarters.
100% agree. And there, it seemed like there were some opportunities there for him to do so. He just didn't do it until the final frame And they needed it at that time.
They totally needed it. And I give them credit for that.
No doubt. But you're right. Yeah. There were some times in the first three quarters where I saw it just like you saw it in others. And he did exactly what he needed to do to help the team out. And would have been nicer earlier. But look, got to give him credit. He 11 points in that final 5 minutes or so. He was really, really good towards the end. And I do have to ask this, though. D-Line joining us in the post, Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward. Seth Curry comes back, D, and I'm like, he's going to struggle. He's been out for a while. I can't expect, too much from him. Came out rolling.
I was so impressed. And I think part of it for me, Devon, is because I've been, part of you with all the COVID stuff is that you start to read, right? And I don't know that we've seen the long-term effects of people who have had COVID. And we certainly haven't seen the long-term effects on a professional athlete. But I have, only because I, call some college games, and I've heard from college athletes what their struggle coming back has been. And I was, compared to what I've been told of others, what he did tonight, I could not believe. He was phenomenal, and I don't know how he had the kind of stamina, I would call it. Mm-hmm. He played 27 minutes.
Yeah.
And the 27 minutes alone was pretty impressive to me. And then to go 6 of 10 from the floor, I was really impressed. And I also think it reminded us that this team, so a lot of the criticism of Ben was when Embiid couldn't play, Seth's out, and you want Ben to be the guy. Ben has his best game in a long time that I would say, certainly of this year. I'd have to go back and look early if I'm missing something, but when he has Seth and he has Embiid, right? So it kind of says to me, the pieces fit here, and they do really well because they have the right pieces for this, to be a good team this year.
I totally agree with you. So, final one, as we look at this team right now, they're back at it tomorrow, 8 o'clock against the Detroit Pistons, the Flex.
Flex.
The Flex. So with the Flex, D, what are you realistically looking for? This is, like we always talk about, good teams, there's adversity. And we've seen them fight through that, dealing with the absence of players due to the COVID. Now you have a back-to-back. That's not unfamiliar in the NBA. You play a game like you do tonight. What are you expecting from them tomorrow as they take on the Detroit Pistons, who are right now in the league, led by Jeremy Grant, who, we liked when he was here. We just didn't know he would turn out to be this. All that being said, they're 3-12. What are you expecting tomorrow night on the road?
Well, the one thing I will say this, and I am hopeful that Joel plays.
Yes.
A couple of times he got up gingerly, which I never like, but he played 30 minutes. So I'm anticipating that he will play in a back-to-back. And I think that Shake didn't have a great game tonight, but he only played 18 minutes. If you need to rely heavily on him tomorrow, I anticipate Shake could give you one of his, what we call Shake games, that we've seen pretty consistently to this point in the season. Personally, I think they go in there and they win that game. I don't see them, unless if Joel somehow does not play in this game, then that would alter all things for me. Because I just don't think they're the same without him. I think Seth, he gave you 27 minutes tonight. Can he give you that in a back-to-back, not only coming off 2 weeks of not playing, but we don't know what does it feel like having had COVID and now trying to come back and play basketball? So I would kind of hang out there. I don't know what I get from Seth tomorrow. In terms of minutes, I think when the guy's on the court, I always know what I'm getting. The guy's a playmaker, and he makes shots, so he does both. But I don't know what kind of minutes you can expect from him tomorrow. And I think one of the things, Devon, we didn't really talk about, but, you know, Maxey's been great. And tonight, you know, he didn't get a ton of minutes. But I think you're seeing Theibel, while he's shooting a very low percentage from three, I don't like that part of him, but that you see what a second-year guy can give you because he knows the league and defend people. I mean, he's done a really good job on Kemba for two games.
Yeah,
when he's been asked to guard that guy. So I think Theibel you can count on giving you, I would say your bench in Theibel, Milton, and Dwight's just the same guy every night for me. Mm-hmm. This guy is a rebounding machine.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that you can depend on having that, but I'd be a little concerned with Joel and Seth in terms of minutes.
I agree with you, and that's where you have, like you pointed out, Shake Milton to pick it up, consistency from Tobias Harris, and yep. Maybe a little more from Simmons as well, and maybe Danny Green's shot will fall tomorrow night. Against the Detroit Pistons. Good teams win. Good teams win in tough circumstances, and yep. On the road is not easy. But this is a different squad, and I think they're being coached by the coach of the month in the Eastern Conference when it's all said and done. So he should also have an impact on the game. Jaylen Brown was also great D, but I have to ask you, he was tremendous. He was tremendous.
Can I just say?
Sure.
So, back in the day when I still would go up like the day before the draft and you get to go in that, you know, hotel and you interview everybody and, you know, that's going to be a lottery pick. He was really one of my favorites to talk to. And I really thought he was going to be a good play. Maybe I was convinced because of the way he did the interview. But this guy, I mean, give this guy credit. And yeah. He, early on, they did not think that that was a good pick by Danny Ainge.
Yep.
But this kid is a player.
He got it right.
Yeah.
He got it right. All right, D. As we move on, and don't forget, listen to D. Lineham and Joe Torti tomorrow, 6 a.m., right here, starting on 97.5 The Fanatic. There should be a lot of Eagles and a lot of Sixers after their win in 11-5, getting ready for the game tomorrow night, D. MVP, once again, it's the big fella.
I got to go. I mean, come on.
Yeah, got to go.
We're going. Yeah, I mean, the guy, he's now moving up in the MVP national talk.
Yeah.
Tonight I heard Mark Zumoff said he's the best player in the Eastern Conference. And I think that's a valid argument to make. So, yeah, Joel Embiid's 38 is ridiculous.
I agree. Difference maker, whether it's a play or person, whatever you want to do.
I mean, I have to, because I am so often critical, I have to give it to Ben Simmons' fourth quarter performance,
mm-hmm.
5 of 7. And, you know, he just, that stretch. And actually, his 5 of 7 doesn't even account that he also had 3 assists in the fourth quarter. So I'll definitely tip my hat and say, Ben, you were definitely the difference maker tonight.
I agree. I had the Simmons stretch written down for Ben Simmons tonight. And when you say the 5 of 7, he led the team in field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. So you love to see that.
I know, that's crazy.
He never does that. And finally, the play of the game for you was what?
All right, so I went outside the box this time. Because it wasn't in the fourth quarter. It wasn't down the stretch, but it mattered to me. The Sixers are actually the leading shot blocking team in the NBA. So I like that. And I think that the unique part of that, it doesn't come from one person being a shot blocker. And so I'm going to give it to Matisse's block on Kemba Walker. And then he goes down and, you know, scores it off the block himself. Was phenomenal. It was because Kemba had him. He crossed him over and the piece comes back and blocks his shot. And I think it speaks to who Matisse can be as a defensive player. It speaks a little to what Doc likes to build in terms of the bench unit, so to speak. And I like to acknowledge the good defense that I think this team is playing.
Absolutely. And mine was the and one from Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter. Because
that's when he
seemed like he was locked in at that point. At the 4:32 mark, he put him up 106-100 because he made the free throw. So that was also important. And, it was Embiid's night, but it was good to see Simmons do what he did down the stretch when they needed the extra push from him. And that was his only made free throw, by the way, of the game. D-Lineham.
I know.
As always, thank you so much. And we don't have time, but I know you saw your dad's commercial resurface online today. It was tremendous. Did you drive in that Honda Civic?
Are you kidding? Hey, he let me, when I stayed, I'll make this very quick. When I stayed in Portland, Oregon for my senior year, when he got the Clippers job, I needed a car to be able to drive myself to school as a senior in high school. And that red Honda was my car.
Love it.
I love that car.
Oh, man, that's great. I saw that, and I was like, this is golden. I can't wait to talk to Dee tonight about this one. That's a great story. Great story. Yeah. Well, listen, have
Goodbye.
A great night, and we'll be listening for you tomorrow morning with Joe Torti right here on the Fanatic. Dee, thanks so much, as always. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Devon. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you, Dee Lineham, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Sorry we couldn't get to the calls. I know you guys were waiting. I was going to get you in before we went to break. But look, if you call back and when we come right back from the break, we'll get you in. We'll give you your time to talk about the Sixers win 122-110 over the Celtics tonight. We have the Little Black Book for the 11:45 weekly picks. We have two games to pick from. Let's see what we did last week in the playoffs. And, of course, these two games here. Against the in the AFC and NFC championship game. 610-632-0975. Leftovers as well. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back in the post. 97.5 The Fanatic final segment. Sixers now 11-5 in the NBA overall. They are tops in the Eastern Conference with this record. We mentioned they are 9-1, which is also, according to Brian Seltzer, as I look at it, I didn't recognize this part, that they are boasting the best record in the NBA at home as well. Their next home game, next Wednesday, hosting, guess what? You get to see, I'm sorry you can't go to the game, but you get to see the Western Conference leaders at 12-4, LeBron James and company. So, look, it's going to be great to see them in town. They are 8-0 on the road right now, and we will see what happens next week. But we're reacting to tonight's win over the Boston Celtics. 610-632-0975. Just diving a little bit deeper before we get to Matt, who's back. Thanks for calling back, Matt. Appreciate it. Sixers were shooting 50. They shot 55.6% from behind the from the field. They shot 42.9% from the three-point line. 12 for 28 for 43%. That's fantastic. 24 free throws, 20 makes. 45-32 on the glass. So you'll take that plus 13 in that category. Assists, even 23 each for both teams. Turnovers, they still have to protect the basketball. 20 turnovers on the night for the Philadelphia 76ers, leading to 21 points for the Boston Celtics. But the Sixers did a nice job off of the Boston Celtics turnovers, which were only 13, but they got 19 points off of those miscues by the Celtics. Lead changes, 14. Biggest lead, Sixers at 15. Celtics once led at 10 points. Points in the paint, 56-52 in favor of the 76ers. Second chance point, 13-11. And Boston takes that one. And fast break points, 23-20 Sixers. So nice win. Really good win here. Full complement of players back with Seth Curry back in the starting lineup. He contributed 15 points following time off due to COVID. This is a good team. It's a good team. They're back at it tomorrow, 8 o'clock, right here on the Fanatic as they travel to Detroit to take on Jeremy Grant and the Detroit Pistons. We will have, okay, the leftovers later on, and we will have our weekly NFL picks for the conference championship games, Tyler Zuli and I. But let's go to Matt first here in the post. Let's check in here tonight with Matt. Matt, what's going on? Thanks for hanging on.
No problem. You know I do that for you, Devon.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Real quick, I heard this phrase, and I'm not sure where I heard it from. I was hoping you could help me out. It goes, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons.
Sounds pretty accurate there, Matt. that's what we saw in the fourth quarter in that final 5 minutes, man. He was really good in that final five.
Yep, and through three quarters, he's got 4 points. You know, he's got the assist, but we're thinking, here comes another one of these games. And then the floor tilted, and we got that aggressive Ben Simmons. And I think that, you know, to me, it just unlocks everything that he's capable of, you know. Getting a rebound, going coast to coast. He's such a great finisher that, you know, one of two things can happen. Either he finishes around the rim, maybe draws a foul, it's a three-point play. And then also when he's doing that aggressiveness, that's when his playmaking abilities really step in, dish out to a wide-open three-point shooter, maybe cut a streaker. Get another and one, but that was great to see from Ben. But we got to address the elephant in the room tonight, Devon.
All right, let's do it.
That's Joel Embiid.
Mm.
The MVP forerunner right now.
Wow, so you have him first. I'm not mad at it. I'm definitely not mad at it.
Well, it's probably because I'm 30, so I've only got to see one Sixer win an MVP in my lifetime. So I'm just really bagging that. Yeah, Joe can be the second. But, I mean, you just look at him, how he's playing. You know, we talk about all his, the intangibles with Joe, like his footwork. I remember watching him in Kansas just, like, salivating over his footwork, how a big guy like that has such great feet like that. And his footwork is even better. His vision, looking over the court, making the right passes, and then reading the defense, making the right read. And then, you know, his offense, he can, you know, put his butt up against someone, take him down the block, dunk over him. The mid-range game, I heard in the telecast tonight that his mid-range game is in the 40%, where the last three seasons he was shooting 30%. So he's been up 10% on his mid-range game. And then, then he go 2-for-2 behind the three-point line and hit threes right in your face. So he's got the whole arsenal working, and it's very, very scary for the whole league, I think.
Yeah, it is. He's doing everything offensively that he wants to do. And every time, Matt, people would bring up the get on the block, do your work on the low block, that's what we need to see, so on and so forth. You can't say that now because he's been doing most of his work on the low block. He'll mix things in mid-range because he's good at it. And occasionally he'll take his three, but he doesn't get carried away with it. It's in the flow of the game.
Yeah, that's what I love seeing because, you know, the previous years he would shoot, you know, 5, 6, 7 threes and kind of be looking for the three-pointer, you know. Now he'll only shoot that three when it just comes to him in the course of the game. You love to see it. And then just real quick about, you know, Toby and Danny Green and Seth coming back. I was really impressed with Seth tonight, coming off COVID to score 15.
Yeah,
that's great to see. Toby, by the way, is just having a sneakily great season. I really love to see it because of that max contract. But to shoot, what was it, 10 of 12 tonight for 23 points?
So efficient.
And then the way he was locking up on D is great to see. And then I always had this game plan to win. Joe has to Joe. Ben has to Ben, and then either Seth, Danny, and Toby, two of those guys have to have, you know, double-digit points. That's what happened tonight, and we got the win.
It was really good to see, man. Really, really good to see from the team.
I'm high on this team, Devon, as you can tell.
As you should be.
Yeah, and my only last thing, the only thing I'm worried about is this trap game tomorrow. It's kind of a bad spot.
But that's where I want to see him. They look.
Yeah,
I love
to see how they respond to Barr.
Exactly.
Big emotional win, and not only that, not only traveling, but you're playing the Pistons team who stinks.
Well, guess
they
what?
Stink.
Guess what, Matt? This is one of those games where they have two straight in that city. So they have two in Detroit against the Pistons tomorrow and Monday. How do you respond to it? That's the question.
I would almost say, you know, you could tell more maybe from these two games in Detroit than you could tell about these two Celtics games.
That's how
it'd be really telling. And I really think that's why Doc is in charge right now. So I think he'll keep us focused and eye on the prize. Great talking to Vaughn. Another great win. And I will talk to you on the flip side.
We'll talk next week, man. Thanks, man. Enjoy your weekend,
later.
Matt. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the games in the NFL as well, because listen, it's about that time, right? It's about that time. Tyler, get the little black book. Let's see what happened last weekend.
What happened last weekend for us, Devon, was a whole lot of winning.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So each of us, well,
right.
I mean.
Here's the one thing I know. I remember we agreed on Green Bay and Buffalo.
Correct. And
that's
we got
all
both
I
of those right. So that was a really
okay.
nice. A really nice start to the weekend. We went 2-0 on Saturday.
Okay.
And then we split Sunday.
All right.
Because you took Kansas City minus 10. In fact, you gave me a score. You said 31-17.
I do remember that.
They won, but they did not cover.
32-18, I think they won.
It was 22...
I actually think it was 32-18.
You know, in fact, the power of Google.
No, no, I thought Green Bay was 31-17. Was it Kansas City?
You had Kansas City, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Green Bay. My bad.
So I think it was 22-18,
you're right.
something like that.
I thought it was the Green Bay game I gave the
I got the Cleveland cover. You had Tampa Bay plus 3. I took the Saints minus 3. Of course, Tampa Bay won that game. So a couple of different ways to get there, but we both finished 3-1.
Look
so
at that.
For the season, Devon, you are now 33-22-3. I am now 30-27-2. But I have to say a little bit of, I think that I'm going to jinx myself here by doing this. 9-4. Or 9-3, I guess it would be, in the last 4 weeks. No, it would be 9-4 because we took 4 games last week.
Well, listen, man, we have 3 games left. Championship weekend. And, of course, Super Bowl.
I've got to go at least 1-2 or I go .500.
All right. Well,
you have no worries. You're 11 games over .500. You're fine.
If anybody has won money off of me, more power to you for listening to me all season long.
And you know what you always say.
Give out these picks.
You know what you always say when it comes to making picks and winning money.
What's that? Give me $1.
$1.
Give me $1. That's all I ask for. So ship me $1. Everybody who's placed any bets that I've said, give me $1.
Write that check.
$1 in cash. No, I want $1 bill. I want $1 bill in an envelope sent here to the Fanatic Studios in Bala Cynwyd. Tyler Zuli, as always, you go first.
All right, so I think we should start with the first game of the week. I think that is probably the fair way to go. So we'll start in the NFC, I believe, is the first game of this Sunday.
Yes, it is. 3:05 kickoff Sunday afternoon.
The line is 3.5 for both of these games. I think that this one in particular is kind of disrespectful. I think that this is a disrespectful line. I know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeated the Packers pretty easily back in, what, week 5 or week 6 or whatever it may have been? 38-10.
Yep.
You know what I've learned over the last 10-plus weeks? This is a different Green Bay team. Aaron Rodgers is on a mission. And I don't think he gets denied this week. I think Aaron Rodgers gets back to the Super Bowl for the first time in 10 years. And I think that Green Bay wins this game. I don't want to say, I said earlier in the week, comfortably. I don't know what comfortably means in an NFC championship game because these are four teams that are probably supposed to be here.
It means the final score will be more than 3.5.
I think they win by more than 3.5,
right.
Which is why I'm taking Green Bay minus 3.5.
You're right. Hey, you know what, man? Listen, I am going the exact same way as you. You know I've been talking about this, and I remember Jamie and I doing this during draft lines. It had to be about week 8 or week 9. Certain teams were playing well in the NFC. We were still focusing on the New Orleans Saints. Seattle at that time was playing pretty well. Rams also. And Tampa was doing their thing. Couple of slip-ups. But Green Bay was just doing what they are doing right now. And I looked at it and I said, you know what, Jay? This team is going to win the NFC. They were like third. They were third in the pecking order on DraftKings at that time. With plus whatever it was, and I did not lay anything on it. I just remember the conversation, and man, they have been rolling, and I'm with you. They've been in a really good place, a really good spot, And I don't see any way that Tampa Bay wins this game tomorrow. It's double revenge. One, because of the score that you mentioned, 38-10. And then second, when we talked about it during draft lines, you may not have heard it because you were getting ready for the Sixers game. But Tyler, they got destroyed last season in that NFC Championship game. And they are trying to, as they pointed out, Za'Darius Smith talked about it, they're trying to rebound from that awful, awful performance. So one part of the double revenge has nothing to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has everything to do with their own poor performance a season ago. I am going with you. This one is going to be a 27-18 defeat over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday afternoon. Green Bay represents the NFC in the Super Bowl.
And by the way, we got to go back to week 6 for that game where the Bucs won 38-10. You and I actually went head-to-head on that week.
And you got it.
You took Green Bay minus one. I took the Bucs plus one. It was basically a pick-em at that point. But we'll see what happens. We're both going with Green Bay this week to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I figured, if you're okay with it, since we only have two games. With the fact that we're picking the same two games, I didn't want to go first twice and in case we agree. So I figured, why don't you go first for the AFC game?
Okay, I can do that. AFC 6:40 kickoff, Kansas City hosting the Buffalo Bills. And when these two teams play early in the season, it was kind of close in that game. It was more Andy Reid adjusted. Andy Reid did not throw the football a bunch of times once he realized how the game was going. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 26 carries, well over 100 yards in that game. Did not score. Williams scored the touchdown, but he was fantastic. Andy Reid adjusted to what the game plan needed to be that day to beat Buffalo, keeping that high-powered offense off the field. And that's exactly what Andy Reid did in that game when they took on the Buffalo Bills in that particular one. So if you look at it and you go back to that 26-17 loss to the Buffalo Bills, that then when they lost this game to Andy Reid and company, overall, looking at this game, right? Looking at this game, the time of possession went 37:45 to 22 minutes and 15 seconds. That's precisely why he kept the ball out of the hands of Josh Allen and that offense. Tyler, they're going to do it differently tomorrow on Sunday, 6:40. They win the game once again, but Pat Mahomes, coming back off of this concussion, they're going for their second consecutive Super Bowl. They're highly motivated to beat this team that many people that I'm sure they know are picking to upset them in the AFC Championship game. I'm going with that -3.5 again to the home team. Both home teams advance to the Super Bowl, Kansas City and the Green Bay Packers.
Do you believe in destiny, Devon?
I do.
You believe in fate?
I do.
This Buffalo Bills team is it has some kind of destiny behind them.
Yeah, the fate means they're going to get beat.
25 years of not winning a single playoff game.
Oh, and I love this team.
And this team has something special, and it is just so happening that they may be running into the best offense of my lifetime, and if not, maybe the best offense of all time. So everything that you just mentioned is exactly what Sean McDermott is going to have to fix. Now, this game, and it's not a stretch. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything exciting. This game comes down to one Patrick Mahomes. And is he actually healthy and fine enough to play this game? He did pass concussion protocol. He's going to play.
You know he is.
But not past that, the ankle and the foot, and that's going to bother him as well. It's not going to keep him off the field. I don't think it really is going to be a game changer, but it's going to be enough to possibly throw him off his rhythm. I'm not quite sure who wins this game. I think it's going to be a really fun game. But when you're going to give me almost four points in the AFC Championship game.
You have four?
Well, three and a half. Almost four. Okay. They would have to win by four to cover.
Yes.
I think that this one is going to be significantly closer than the first game in the NFC. I don't know if the Bills win this game, but I do know that the Bills stay in this game for long enough for me to take them +3.5.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, man. Look, Buffalo has earned that respect to what you're saying. They've definitely earned that respect. So I appreciate how you laid all of that out. It should be a good game on both sides. 6:40, the kickoffs on Sunday. I'm really looking forward. But Tyler, I have a, I think I have. Yes, I do. No, I don't. I thought I was going to have it. I had a special line that I needed you to check in on.
We got something.
Yeah, but it's
big
not,
happening?
It's not up there. No, it's not super huge, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the Sixers and the Pistons tomorrow. Back to back for the Sixers, Pistons off after playing last night.
Something like 4.5?
It's not up right now. So that's why I was going to go with you as a surprise third game as we have been having all season long. But unfortunately, it's not there. So I'll just ask you straight up, Sixers win tomorrow or not?
Yes, I think they do. Detroit's not a good basketball team.
3-12.
It's kind of it's weird to say, just let Grant get his. And
Simmons is going to defend him, though.
Yeah.
So what happens?
It's a team. We've talked about it before jokingly, but it's not really a joke. It's a team full of power forwards. Like, that's what they are. It's like six power forwards, and, you know, whenever Killian Hayes gets back, him. They're bad.
I think I like him, but I don't know enough yet. But look forward to him coming back. They are a bad basketball team. Sixers should win tomorrow. So, Tyler, all right, man. Look at that. It's a quick one. Later game, 7:30, all of that. Post-game coverage. We talked to D's. A couple of callers we were able to sneak in. Our evaluation of the game. What about some leftovers?
All right,
Friday
Devon,
night,
so
to close down the weekend.
I have to ask you this. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make this choice. We have four stories, one of which is significantly more important than the rest.
Okay.
Do you want that story first or last?
First.
Okay. All right. First. So the first story, which is of the most importance to the sports world and to the world as a whole, is that the world lost a great man today. At the age of 86, Hank Aaron passed away. Here's just some of his statistical numbers. Hank Aaron, obviously, 755 home runs, was the home run king for quite some time until Barry Bonds broke the record in 2007. Holds the major league record for RBIs, total bases, and extra base hits. And he ranks among major league's best in hits. He's third all-time in hits, third in games played, fourth in runs scored. Now, Devon, there is one important moment in the in sports that was defined by a tremendous call. So I figured...
We have more audio?
We do. We've got a little bit of audio. I figured, why don't we
let the
great Vin Scully describe this moment.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone!
That's it.
715th home run.
That's it. I'll go the other way with this one to you bringing up the great, now late, Hank Aaron. I'll go integrity, class, and courage with who he was as a man first and then as a baseball player second. Because all of the great things that we talk about, that great call right there from Vin Scully, many people who have read up and, you know, followed up on things about him over the years of who Hank Aaron is and was, you realize some of the tough things that he had to deal with as well as a black man during the time when he was playing the game of baseball. The fact that I saw something where Stephen A. Smith mentioned all of the hate mail that he would get and just brush it off. Because what are you going to do? You just brush it off, keep going out there, pick your chin up, and go be you. And that's why I wanted to make sure I said the integrity, the class, and the courage to still be himself and ultimately stand up and be on top and make those people look foolish when it was all said and done. Rest in peace, Hank Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, an all-time great, not just an all-time great baseball player, because like you said, that comes second to an all-time great person. Somebody that was a bright example of courage and of respect and of class. The world lost a great man today.
Yes, they did.
He was 86 years
old.
Well
said. Well said.
All right, so we have some other stories not nearly as important as the passing of Hank Aaron, but The Houston Texans have interviewed quarterback Josh McCown and former Lions and Colts head coach Jim Caldwell for their head coaching positions. Houston signed McCown this past season off the Eagles practice squad to be their backup quarterback. Caldwell, meanwhile, was most recently hired as the assistant head coach with the Miami Dolphins in 2019, but he had to leave due to some health issues. He was 36-30 with the Detroit Lions, including taking that terrible team to the playoffs, and 28-24 as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Devon, you know this is a guy that I have wanted to see. I wanted him to be the Eagles head coach, and I would still right now hire him as the OC if he doesn't get this job.
He's your Dave Yeager for me.
He is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on both Caldwell and McCown having an opportunity to interview for the Houston Texans job?
Really intrigued by the Caldwell part here because of the fact that he would be a former head coach, has had success. The fact that he lost his job in Detroit the way that he did, that was ridiculous. You know, that franchise can't get out of their own way. And, you know, giving him another opportunity to do what he does best, which is call the offense and help out a young Nick Sirianni as a head coach, I'm in favor of that. As far as where Houston is, sometimes it happens that way where you go to that young player in that way. And with that, I just don't know that with Deshaun Watson, that's the right call for that team. Now, if they decide to use him as an offensive coordinator, that's one thing. Head coach, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So why don't we go from a coach that had some success in Detroit to a coach that had absolutely no success in Detroit? And of course, I'm talking about Matt Patricia, who was fired at the end of this past season with the Detroit Lions. How about this? He's returning to the New England Patriots as an assistant to Bill Belichick. So of course, he was an assistant to Belichick from 2004 to 2017 before getting the Lions job. He's expected to assist Belichick's staff in, quote, a variety of roles. He's 46 years old, had very little success in Detroit. It just makes sense from the Patriots, but I think we've learned this guy is not a great coach.
No, Bill's just doing something where he's looking out for one of his guys. That's all he's doing, and that's just it. Made up title, whatever he's going to be doing, That's what he's going to do, so whatever. Whatever. Can I throw one in?
Yeah, we've got one more, but go ahead.
Oh, no, you go first. You might have it.
Okay, so the NBA has rescinded Golden State Warriors' technical foul, Draymond Green.
Isn't that what we talked about?
You look at me, I think that might be the one that you had too.
No, that's not the one. That's what we talked about last night.
Yes.
And I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they've rescinded the second technical foul. Ben Taylor, who was the game's crew chief, actually admitted at halftime after he had tossed Draymond Green the second technical, he thought he was being yelled at. Obviously, turns out he was yelling at James Wiseman. Here's the quote from Steve Kerr. At halftime, Ben Taylor came out and told me that he made it a mistake. John Butler didn't realize that Draymond was yelling at his teammate. He thought he was yelling at him. The reason for the technical was, quote, a profanity that was deemed to be directed at the official. Obviously, turns out it was at the rookie center.
Here's my one thing, and then we can get out of here.
Well, you've got one still.
I read the pool reporter who had to speak to the officials afterwards. They asked them if they made a mistake, and they said no.
That's very weird. To admit it to the coaches, but not to the media?
So
doesn't make any sense.
The 76ers and the Delaware Bluecoats have signed a two-way player, Rajon Tucker. I just wanted to make sure I brought that in. For anybody who doesn't know, an athlete. And we'll leave it there. Tyler, great work, man. As always, great work not only here, but also during the Sixers broadcast. Dylan McKinnon, great work as well. Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, Marty Dickerson, everybody all week long. Thanks so much. I'll be back on Monday, 6 o'clock, before Sixers Pistons game number 2, where hopefully they're going for their 13th win of the season. Enjoy the championship weekend as well. We'll talk to you on Monday. Everybody be safe. Have a great weekend. I'm out of here. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.